Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us this morning at the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ. My name is Liz Clifford, and along with our pastor, Buck Martin, we are so glad you're here. It's a beautiful day in Soldotna, Alaska, and I surely hope you can get outside for a little bit and enjoy that. I hope everyone is doing well, both physically and mentally, and staying healthy. We've been quarantined as a body since March 8th. Our last service together was in this building on Sunday, March 8th, and it was the adult Sunday school class. It's hard to believe it's already the month of May. We're watching our community begin to open up a little bit at a time, and I'm thankful we're going slow and careful. We'll have to watch carefully as we move forward. This has been a first for all of us being quarantined, and I am grateful for the way our governor and our community leaders have responded to COVID-19, working to keep us all safe. As individuals and as a community, it's so important to work together to keep us all safe and healthy in this time. I am thankful for the ways we are able to stay in touch with each other. The internet, texting, drive-by greetings, and social media, it definitely makes us feel a little less lonely. We are finishing up 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, this morning, and we'll be looking carefully at verses 47 through 51. Again, we'll be in 2 Samuel 22, 47 through 51. I'm going to read our question first today, and then we'll read the verses and we'll begin to discuss them. We are on question 11, the last question of this chapter. Beautiful verses that sum up this psalm. What in particular stands out to you in these final verses? So reading in 2 Samuel 47 through 51. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up upon high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. These are beautiful verses to end this psalm with, and it really would have been so nice to have each one of you here that I could hear your thoughts and feelings on this psalm. It's difficult teaching to empty seats, and I miss every one of you so much. But this is definitely a psalm of praise and thanksgiving unto God for all that he has done for David. And I especially love the way David closes this psalm in verse 51. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. David's king, God, he shows mercy to his anointed, God's anointed, King David. In King David's life, we see such humility. David's life belonged to God from the very beginning. And David understood that he was the man he was because of God. And he lived a life that showed that. He loved God, and his life showed that God was the center of his life. David's legacy was that of a godly yet humble man, one whom God used mightily. It was a legacy not only for his seed, but also for us to follow. Look at verse 50. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. This word heathen here actually means nations or Gentiles. Israel was not a large, mighty nation compared to those that surrounded them. Yet King David worked to live godly in an ungodly world. His life showed God to all of those nations around him. He said, I will give thanks unto thee and sing praises unto thy name. Look again at verses 48 and 49. It is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people under me and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast also lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. One way in which King David lived godly was that he openly gave thanks unto God for the victories God gave him. He knew it was God who had avenged his enemies. He gave that glory to God for those victories. He did not claim that for himself. He lived, as verse 47 says, "Blessed be my rock, and exalted the God of the rock of my salvation." God was David's foundation, his rock upon which David built his life, the rock upon which he ruled the nation of Israel. And King David exalted God to all those around him. And as I thought about this question, what in particular stands out in these final verses? David sums up this psalm the whole way which he has written it. Those final verses sum up what this whole psalm is about. He begins to sum up this psalm in verse 47 with praise and thanksgiving. He continues in verses 48 and 49 to acknowledge God for what he has done. And he finishes with verses 50 and 51 with praise and thanksgiving. The entire psalm is laid out like this: praise and thanksgiving, acknowledging God for what he has done, and then again, words of praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving are so important for us to give to God, and he certainly deserves our praise and our thanksgiving. But for me, the way that King David acknowledged God and what he did in his life was something that struck me as I went back over this psalm. David talked in great detail often about how he felt. He said, "Waves of death have compassed me. In my distress, I cried unto God." Then David talks about how God responded to him. "He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry did enter his ears. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from mine enemies. He brought me forth into a large place." We see such a beautiful relationship between David and God. God not only listened to David, but he acknowledged David's cries for that help by responding to David. In God's response to David, David has the opportunity to grow closer to his God. And God desired David to cry out to him in times of need. God, as a father, understood that it was by those very life experiences and how to handle them that David would grow closer to God. It is also very important for us to acknowledge what God has done for us in our own lives, to acknowledge what God has done in our lives, and to show him that we're thankful for what he has done. We don't ever want to take his goodness and his mercy for granted. Let's read verses 23 and 25 here in 2 Samuel 22. Again, we're still in 2 Samuel 22, and we're going to look at verses 23 through 25. Just go up a little bit. 2 Samuel 22, 23 and 25. "For all his judgments were before me, and for his statutes I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and I have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight." In his sight, God's sight, how God sees us. When David cried out for help, God responded with instructions that King David needed to follow. He, King David, then walked uprightly in obedience and in humility, because King David knew he could not do this on his own. To acknowledge God in our lives and what He has done for us teaches us humility. In this whole psalm, David gives continual praise to God, not only with his words, but with his life. In verse 22, he said, "I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." He always walked uprightly before God. Turn with me in the Old Testament to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 through 7. Proverbs comes right after the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. We'll be reading Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. To acknowledge God is to trust God to lead and guide. It's not leaning to our own understanding, but to His ways. When we acknowledge God, we ask Him for help and direction. He will direct. This word direct here means to make straight or to smooth the path, the way in which we must go forward. When we ask God, He goes before us. He lays out or directs that path before us. He is the only one that knows what lies ahead. He truly knows our future. By acknowledging Him, we show we trust Him for our future. To acknowledge God is to be humble. Or as verse 7 says here, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. We know fear here means to respect God. We show our fear or our respect to God when we acknowledge Him in all ways. Staying in the book of Proverbs, go back to the 1st chapter of Proverbs. We'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Staying in Proverbs, go back to Proverbs 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 5. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Excuse me, I lost my page here. We understand what each of these verses teach us. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain or acquire wise counsels. We truly on our own lack wisdom. We don't have or know all the answers. So for whom better to go and seek wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity but from God? If we seek God's wisdom, we must listen to God's wisdom. Marty brought out on Wednesday night the difference between just hearing or listening. It is a wise person who will truly listen to God's wisdom. He has the ability to reach each one of us no matter where we are at. Verse 4 says to give subtly or prudently to the simple or the naive, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. God meets each one of us where we are at in our life. We must listen and learn and do what God instructs us. Not just hear and go away unchanged, but listen, learn, and do. Go over a couple of chapters here in Proverbs to the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 10. We're staying in the book of Proverbs, going over to Proverbs 9 and reading just verses 9 through 10. Oops, went too far. Again, we're staying in the book of Proverbs and we're reading just Proverbs 9 through 10. Proverbs is such a wonderful book, and it is full of so much wisdom. There's only 31 chapters to the book of Proverbs, and something I had thought about and I've heard others do at times is, you know, the month of May has 31 days. If you set a goal to just read one chapter of Proverbs a day, by the end of May, you would have read the whole book and attained a great deal of knowledge. It's just a thought or an idea. Again, going to Proverbs 9, verses 9 through 10. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Think about what these verses are telling us. When we seek God for instructions, it's because we desire an answer from God. If we truly listen and follow those instructions, His wisdom, we grow wiser. If we allow those instructions that we seek to teach us, we increase in learning. In order to increase in learning, we must be teachable. To be teachable requires humility. It is easy to be humble before God, but it is much more difficult to be humble before others. Verse 10 here says, "The fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." King David learned that by going to God and seeking His wisdom, His guidance, His ways, in order to deal with the battles of his life, he increased in wisdom and learning. He gained a greater understanding of the Holy One, which is what we all want, a greater and deeper understanding of the Holy One, our God. Turn back now to 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter where we began. Turning back to 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, we're going to be reading verse 44. Going back to where we started this morning in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. David sought God on how to deal with the enemies surrounding the nation of Israel, but he also sought God on how to deal with other battles or the strivings of his people. So if we read in 2 Samuel, 22nd chapter, verse 44, "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me." Lynn taught on this last week, and she taught us that that word striving means contentions. The battles that King David fought did not just come from outside enemies, but sometimes from within his own people and his own family. But no matter what the battle or who the battle was with, David often sought God. There were times in his life where he did not seek God for that advice and guidance, and those times did not end well. But he learned something in that lesson also. As we look at this psalm in 2 Samuel 22, we can learn so much from King David. Calling out to God with praise and thanksgiving, asking instructions from God, truly listening to those instructions, and then going forward using those instructions. And then returning to God after the battle, or sometimes even during the battle, to give praise and thanksgiving. Living a life before others shows God's glory. It is so important that we live a life that shows God's glory to others. This walk with God is a two-way street, so to speak. We go to God for help in times of need, with an expectation that He will help us. In turn, we must live a life that God is able to honor. But we don't just go to God in a time of need. We go to God on a daily basis. We acknowledge God every day in our life, the same as David did. And we acknowledge Him the way David did also, not just by words, but by our very life. As David said, "I live upright before Him. I keep myself from iniquity." Keeping God's ways and not departing from them in any way. As we are going through this time, where so much in our life has changed because of this virus, it is so important for each one of us to stay so close to God during these changing times. We must take time to acknowledge what God has already done in our lives as individuals and as a body. By doing so, it renews our faith and our confidence in God. It reminds us that He is in control of our very lives, and we can always trust Him. He is also in control of what is happening in this world today. Understanding that God truly is in control gives us peace in uncertain times. In one of my past lessons, I had talked about the definition of prayer. We understand prayer is our communication with God. The very act of prayer acknowledges God for who He is and what He is in our lives. But also part of that definition said, prayer reaffirms our need and dependency on God. And that is so true. When we pray and acknowledge and think so much about what God has done in our lives, letting Him know what we're unsure of and afraid about and things like that, it reaffirms our need of God and our dependency on God. David illustrated that so well in this psalm that we're studying. In verses 1 and 2 of Samuel 22, it states, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song." As David recounts through this entire psalm how and when God helped him, it would not only have reaffirmed his faith in God, but also reaffirmed to David how much he needed God. It reaffirmed his love and his gratitude to God for what he had done. And it's the same for us today. When we take that time to look at our lives, the battles we have fought, the battles we are fighting, when we acknowledge God and what He has done for us, it does a couple of things. First of all, it reaffirms our faith in God and our dependency on God. Secondly, it fills us with gratitude for what God has done in our life. To really look and see what God has done fills us with such gratitude. The third thing, it brings us to a better understanding of the Holy One, like David said, a better understanding of the Holy One, Jesus Christ. I want to finish today in the first psalm. There's only 6 verses, so I do want to read the whole psalm, and this is Psalms 1. And I'll read the entire psalm this morning as we talk about this. Psalms 1. Just 6 verses in Psalms 1. In Psalms 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In these short 6 verses, David lays out very clearly the difference between godly and the ungodly. When he says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Blessed is that man, blessed by God, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, or those that mock God. The godly person is blessed by God because of the very way they live. They not only choose carefully whose company they keep, but how they live daily. They choose to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but in godly counsel. They do not stand in the way of the sinners. Their way is to live above sin. They do not sit in the seat of the scornful. They are not of that mindset. Verse 2, "But in his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The godly person's mindset is the law of the Lord, which is love. Love is the law of the Lord. The godly person meditates on that love day and night. To meditate on it, it is the mindset of that godly person, love. That's the base from which a godly person lives and thinks, love. And by living like that, we shall be, as verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Our life is valuable and will be used for God, for his glory, wherever and whenever he sees fit, especially in times of difficulty and in times of uncertainty. How we deal with this time in our world today shows God to so many. Stand strong in God, like that tree planted by the waters of God, drawing from God daily what we need. Walk in faith so that others see our faith. Walk showing God is in control of our life and we trust him. There's a peace that comes with that. The ungodly are just the opposite. Read verse 4. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." As hard as that sounds, the life of the ungodly is not worth anything to God. It's like chaff blown away by the wind. There's no value in an ungodly life. Just the opposite for the godly. The godly life is of great value to God and to all mankind. Going to verse 5, "Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." The ungodly will not stand in the judgment. Their life cannot be defended in God's eyes. He will judge them guilty. Nor can the sinner stand in the congregation of the righteous. When this life is all over, the righteous and the unrighteous are separated. Verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We each make a choice on how we live in this world today, godly or ungodly. To live godly is to be filled with His Spirit, as it teaches us in that second chapter of Acts, to be baptized in Jesus' name, and to strive to live a life above sin, pleasing before God, a godly life. To acknowledge God in our life, not just in our words, but also in our actions, every way. To go to Him daily, thanking Him for what He already has done, asking Him for instructions and guidance on how to walk daily with Him. And above all, growing daily in a greater understanding of the Holy One, our God, our Jesus Christ. What a great privilege we have to have that Spirit inside, to take His name in baptism, and then to grow daily in a greater understanding of the Holy One. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Please join us again at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And again, may God bless all of you.